Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I'm so glad you joined me today. You know, laughter, tears, joys, and fears, there isn't a part of your life that God doesn't share or a part of you he doesn't love. I remember years ago when Robert Schuller was the pastor of the Crystal Cathedral in California, Southern California, and he said, people, life is made up of hellos and goodbyes. Hellos and goodbyes. And that's true. We can laugh with people, and then when they leave, there are tears, there's joys, there's fears, and God is in the mix with you. He absolutely is in whatever you are going through. And I believe that probably some of you are going through real changes in your life, but he is there for you. He is with you. Every part of your life, he wants to be in. Involved. Yes, you are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. You can hear Call to Freedom at 9 o'clock every day, 9 o'clock in the evening, 2:30 in the morning, and 5:30 in the morning. A lot of you listen at 5:30 in the morning when you're getting up, getting ready to go to work. That's at 670 KLTT. And it's also on at 11 o'clock in the morning at 1220 KLDC. I remember the KLDC because DC reminds me of Darren Carmack. So KLDC. And if you'd like to listen, you can go to freedomstreet.org, click on resources, and then radio show is right below that. And also you can go to Spotify, typing in Freedom ST Radio, Freedom ST Radio, and that will get you to our program. And we're just learning all kinds of new things together, and I'm grateful that I can still learn. Praise the Lord. You can email me at barbara@freedomstreet.org, hello@freedomstreet.org, and donate. You can also give donations at the freedomstreet.org website. I have an announcement from American Center for Law and Justice. And it's really sad what the left is trying to do, what the woke part of the country is trying to do to our children. It really is. Here it is. She was sobbing, but they refused to let her leave. The school forced her to violate her faith. In just hours, we're filing a massive lawsuit to defend her and every Christian student in the country. But this wasn't the first attack on her faith. Now, here's a precious girl sobbing in the classroom. Do you know what classroom she was in? Second grader. She's a second grader. Her backpack was searched daily. Her Bible and this sounds like communism. Her Bible and gospel tracts confiscated by the principal. Earlier this year, she was pulled from math class and scolded for talking about Jesus. When Jesus is your best friend, that's who you want to talk about. Oh, I just grieve for her. And then just days before the school year ended, she was forced to sit through an inclusion assembly that violated her faith and her parents' wishes, told by a teacher, "You have no choice." The school refused to comply with our demand letter. So as soon as today, Jay Sekulow and Jordan are saying, we are filing a lawsuit in federal court to finally hold this school district accountable. Our message to the school is simple. No, you have no choice. You must follow the Constitution and freedom of speech. You must never force a child to violate her faith. Go to ACLJ.org and sign our petition, Stop the Left's War on Christians. And give to American Center for Law and Justice. And you can hear Jay and Jordan Sekulow on a Crawford station. I believe it's KLZ at 10:30 in the morning. And that's really important that you listen to them. Oh, Okay, 10 a.m. Thank you, Rachel. 10 a.m. and 11 on KLZ. So remember that when you're wanting to listen to good shows, good programming, and listen to how they are taking care of this woke society that was established through Obama and Biden. Thank you very much. Hello. Woo. I'm so grateful for the president we have right now. Oh, praise the Lord. Our memory verse for this week is Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And from the Living Translation, Romans 14, verse 17. This is just a great little verse. You can learn it right now. Then you'll always know Romans 14, 17. I learned it years ago, and every time Romans 14, 17 comes up, I say, I know that verse. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh, that is so beautiful. Tuesday, I was telling you about being born again and just absolutely declaring that Jesus is Lord in your thanksgiving and your praising. It helps you to open your mouth in praise to God, your Creator. It really is. I was going to continue with that. And then as I was reading 1 Kings, oh, and this is such an exciting part of the Old Testament, 1 Kings 17 through 21, I realized that Holy Spirit was speaking to me about what was happening in Israel when Elijah appeared on the scene. Now, this is a man that we do not know a lot about before he confronted King Ahab. It just says he appeared in Gilead. I think it's what he said. Yeah, he appeared and there he was. We don't know where he's from. And so I realized how good this was for us. When we gather so much from the Bible, we can understand and be prepared for these last days and all the events that are happening because we are kind of knowledgeable about what is going on. And so I must first introduce you to the condition of Israel when Elijah came upon the scene. King Ahab was controlled by his wife. And that's where we get the term Jezebel spirit. And you've probably, if you've been in the church long enough, you've heard Jezebel spirit every once in a while. The Jezebel spirit usually works best in the background. And so it's not easily identified. But this spirit, if left to its own demise, divides churches and splits relationships and destroys by ruthless tactics, sometimes shrouded in religious fervor and zeal. You'll hear the left talking about God and about how they go to church and church is the most important thing to us. And see, that's religious fervor. It's not built on the truth, but it's people who are trying to bring about an attention to the public or the crowd. And if you would like to learn more about the Ishmael Jezebel spirit, and especially Jezebel right now, in Darren's sessions, which is under teaching, it's number 28, the Jezebel and Ishmael spirits. And it talks about both Ishmael and Jezebel. Really great series, 2 CD series. Now, King Ahab was married to the first Jezebel, and that was his greatest mistake. And like so many men in the Bible, a woman became his downfall. Instead of staying within the Jewish tradition and what God commanded, that they not go after foreign women, Ahab married an idolatrous woman named Jezebel, who defiled the generations after him. Once, like I said the other day, once you get a bad rotten apple in a bushel, if you don't get rid of that apple, the whole bushel will be rotten. And it came about as though they had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. Ahab married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshiped him. He gave in to his wife's demands, and he began to worship Baal instead of God, the Creator, our Creator. And that's what happened to so many families. It happens to families today. They marry outside of God's command and produce children with mixed and defiled natures. It's hard enough to live a life as a believer, but when you combine unborn again and born again into a a husband and a wife situation and then have children on top of it, oh, friends, it's just red flag after red flag. And God wanted a pure race of people, but the men of Israel chose to disobey God and rebel and go after women who used their feminine ways to control and manipulate their husbands. It's happening again today. We have strong women who dominate over men. Jezebel was the extreme example to control and manipulation. And what's so sad is that a king of Israel gave in to her ungodly ways. And it says here in 1 Kings 17, because he was weak in his obedience to God, he gave in to his wife's demands and her religion and worshiped Baal. He erected an altar for Baal in the house he built for Baal in Samaria. So he built this gorgeous house in the capital in Samaria, and he also erected Asherahs, and those are female deities for his feminist wife. Yes, and we're seeing that kind of idolatry here today. This is what Elijah walked into, idolatry and chaos. And it says here that Elijah the Tishbite from among the settlers of Gilead, and many scholars believe that it was Elijah who established the school of the prophets mentioned in 2 Kings. He confronted Ahab, and here it is in 1 Kings 17. As surely as God lives, and he's reminding Ahab of the God who appointed him to be king of Israel. God appointed Ahab to be king of Israel. The God of Israel before whom I stand in obedient service. The next years are going to see a total drought, not a drop of rain or dew unless I say otherwise, excuse me, because God had told Elijah, I will depend on you to bring about the drought and also when the rain comes. Elijah was a man like us. That's what James talks about. James 5 says he was an ordinary man like we are, and yet God gave him such a great anointing in which he could tell whether it's going to rain or not rain. I know some of you in Denver right now, you're just praying that it's going to rain. Oh, because we need rain. Well, Elijah obeyed God's orders. And this is what he's known as, the obedient prophet. He was so obedient to God. He went and camped in the Kirith Canyon on the other side of the Jordan. And sure enough, God told him to do that. Ravens brought him his meals. Meat eaters brought Elijah meat. Can you believe that? Meat eaters brought Elijah meat. God closed their appetites to meat, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. Eventually, the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to him, get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. Now, that's where Jezebel was raised. And Sidon is 25 miles from Mount Carmel. So I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you. Wow, the circumstances that Elijah was introduced to. Now, Elijah got up and went to Zarephath. As he came to the entrance of the village, he met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. He asked her, please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink. Here's a stranger talking to a stranger. But God had told him he would meet a widow, so he knew this woman was the one that God wanted him to meet. As she went to get it, he called out, and while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat? Ah, the audacity. I mean, if a stranger came to my door, it's one thing for me to give him a bottle of water or a drink of water. But when he says, I'm hungry, would you give me something to eat? Of course I would. But here is a widow gathering sticks for their final supper. And he's saying, and by the way, would you bring me something to eat? Whoa. And she said, I swear, as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we'll die. Oh, so sad. So she was looking to die with her son when this prophet comes along. And isn't that something? Every once in a while, we go to a conference or we go to a church meeting and they have a guest speaker. And this guest speaker seems to say exactly what we need to hear. It's a prophet. It's a man who tells us what we need to know. Such a beautiful thing. Okay, so she said, after we eat it, we'll die. Elijah said to her, don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you said. But first, here he goes again, but first he's a man. You get to a man through his stomach. But first make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. Now I'm reading from the Message translation. So small biscuit is just a piece of bread or whatever she had for him. This is the word of God to Israel. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought. So Elijah basically knew that they were going to have oil and bread until the end of this drought. And so she went right off, and she did it. Another act of obedience. Oh, did just as Elijah asked, and it turned out, as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out, and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. That's so good. God's promise fulfilled to the letter exactly as Elijah had delivered it. What a miracle, and more to come. Now, so far it's been good. They've been living on oil and the bread from wheat, and it's not run out, and it's been good. Later on, the woman's son became sick. The sickness took a turn for the worse, and then he stopped breathing. The woman said to Elijah, why did you ever show up here in the first place? A holy man barging in, exposing my sins and killing my son. In the Old Testament, that's what happened. A prophet would come and disclose to people their sins so that they could repent and get back with God. So she's upset. Yes, her son dies. And why did you ever show up here in the first place? A holy man barging in, exposing my sins, killing my son. Oh, praise God. The woman knew that Elijah was a holy man because they'd lived for 3.5 years on God's provision. That's a holy man, folks. That really is. And so we know here that she is talking to a man who is so thoroughly entrenched in what God wants that she's angry, but she also knows that she's going to talk to him about her son who just died. Elijah said, hand me your son. He then took him from her bosom, carried him up to the loft where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. So for the last 3.5 years, this woman, God, and this woman has fed Elijah and has given him a place to stay. So then he prayed, oh God, my God, why have you brought this terrible thing on this widow who has opened her home to me? And why have you killed her son? 3 times he stretched himself out full length on the boy, praying with all his might. Now I believe Holy Spirit told him to do this, to lay on the boy full length. And a couple other times in the Bible, it says that the person who prayed for them, I believe it was Elijah in 2 Kings here. We're going to be reading this tomorrow. And 3 times he stretched himself out full length on the boy, praying with all his might. God, my God, put breath back into this boy's body. God listened to Elijah's prayer and put breath back into his body. We know the breath of God is Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 37 tells us that the breath of God breathed life into these dry bones. It's the Holy Spirit. And he raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8, verse 11. He's the same one who raised Jesus from the dead. And believe it or not, he lives in us today. He was alive. He was alive. Elijah picked the boy up, carried him downstairs from the loft, and gave him to his mother. Here's your son, said Elijah, alive. The woman said to Elijah, I see it all now. You are a holy man. When you speak, God speaks a true word. When God speaks to your heart, friend, he is speaking the truth, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So we know when God speaks, it is the truth. Praise the Lord. Now, Elijah was God's messenger to an idolatrous nation. Ahab himself knew of Elijah because he said, is this you, you troubler of Israel? Elijah was not a troubler, but a man who would not bow to corruption and sin. It reminds me of the fight that we are seeing in America today. If you are a conservative, you will realize that the left will try to picture you as a troubler and shout as loud as they can to make you give in to their ways. But stand strong against the lies and deception. Stand strong, my friend. Ahab had become depraved because he'd given in time and time again to his manipulative Jezebel spirit. Isaiah was so right thousands of years ago when he said in Isaiah 5:20, they call evil good and good evil. And that's what's happened in so many places in this world. Oh, God, help us. Elijah was an obedient man to God's commands. Because of that, he saw God bring about 8 miracles before he was escorted up to heaven by the angels. And in 1 Kings 17, you will be blessed at the mighty power of God when Elijah confronted the 900 priests of Baal and Asherah. Just think, in just a little amount of time, all these priests became important leaders of the people, and they were priests who worshiped Baal and priests who worshiped Asherah. And God did a glorious miracle of licking up the sacrifice Elijah had made for him. They had a contest. They had a barbecue. And you've read it in 1 Kings 18, a barbecue in which the priests, they were tearing at their flesh, and they were trying to get their God to come down and lick up their sacrifice, and nothing happened. And then Elijah, he came and dressed the sacrifice, put it on the altar, and then he began to pray. And when he prayed, the fire of God came down. Oh, you will be blessed when you read this from 1 Kings. I would read 1 Kings 17 through 21 if you don't have a word power for every hour. Oh, and God just gloriously, his miracle of licking up the sacrifice Elijah had made for him. And when Elijah said to the crowd of weak Jewish people, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? How long are you going to go back and forth, one day for God and another day for the world, one day for God and another day for the world? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But after the fire, God fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, and even the water around the altar. The people seized the evil priests and brought them down to the Kishon and slew them there." So the people actually made a decision. Yeah, we're going to decide. It's like in the election, this last election, the people finally decided, yeah, we're going to vote for the guy who's going to get us out of all this trouble and all this woke. Yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to decide as an act of our will to do the right thing. And so they slew the 900 priests of Baal and Asherah. Ahab saw the miracle that happened at the Baal barbecue, and he still stood stiff-necked against the ways of God that Elijah was speaking forth, even after the prophets of Baal were killed by the Jewish people who listened to Elijah. Well, then Jezebel, she put out an edict against Elijah. And in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, we see that she said, "We want him dead or alive." So I believe it was because Elijah basically was alone. He was alone against many people who were serving Baal and Asherah. And so when he realized that he was alone, strength left him, and he was so tired. I believe that's why he said that he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba. He was afraid, and I totally understand that he was afraid. "And it is enough, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him, and he said to him, "Arise, eat." So Elijah had been eating at a brook until it dried up. Then he was fed by a widow for 3.5 years until God told him and instructed him to come again to Samaria, where he would confront the Baal and Asherah priests. And so he was so obedient. And the angel then came to him and laid a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again and rested. Sometimes the best thing we can do The best thing we can do is rest. The best thing we can do. And God actually tells us in Hebrews, enter into my rest. My rest, my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. And so the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he rose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And Horeb was actually Mount Sinai. They're interchangeable. So we know that he went to Mount Sinai, the mountain that Moses got the commandments. And he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant and torn down thine altars and killed thy prophets with a sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And so the Lord was passing by, and a great strong wind was rending the mountain and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and the Lord was not in the earthquake that came. The Lord was in a gentle blowing breeze. Ah, the breath of God. Isn't that beautiful? And it came to pass when Elijah heard it. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood at the entrance. And the Lord says, what are you doing here, Elijah? The Lord gave him three points of interest that I'm going to continue tomorrow talking about, to anoint Hazael, king of Aram, to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and then to go and get Elisha and anoint him as the prophet that will go after him. So we're going to see that tomorrow. It's such an absolutely wonderful time to read the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings. We're going to get into 2 Kings. Remember, 1 Kings is basically about Elijah, and then the first two chapters are taking him up into the heavens, and then 2 Kings talks about Elisha. So we're going to talk about Elisha tomorrow. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in